Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the man who always have a plan. The man, even though he had technical difficulties last night that could not broadcast the show, the man will not stop me. Even though Mr. Number 45 will try to shut the show down, I will not allow it. Sean Black and I are determined to give you what you need to know, so you can be pissed off at us. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the styling, the profiling, the limousine riding, the jet flying, the kiss stealing, the wheeling and dealing, son of a gun.
Woo! Sean Black in the building once again, strutting this stuff here on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, we can be heard, right? We are on the air, right?
I hope so. I'm paying them a certain amount of money every month to be heard.
Yeah, so hopefully, apologize for yesterday. We weren't able to get on the air, mostly because of the site itself. I guess there was some sort of issue, weren't able to get on. We were giving you our full show today as opposed to yesterday, so we apologize for that, and thank you for joining us here on the show because of it.
And you know what? I'd like to apologize, and Anisha B. like to apologize for once. She left work on time, and she was ready to do the show last night. So, of course, she couldn't do the show. And now she cannot do the show now because she's still doing other errands. So
she apologized. She's jinxed. She's completely jinxed. Finally,
exactly.
Free to do the show, can't do it. Go for it.
You can't win. But to our two listeners out there right now, the telephone number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean, are you ready to discuss about some issues?
Well, I think the issue that we would discuss will piss people off. So if that's the case, have at it.
I don't know. I think people are pissed off already because
it seems
like everybody's just losing their mind. Just go out shooting, running, taking cars, running people down, or drinking their life off. I think everybody's pissed off right at this point.
What a weird month we've had.
Yes. And before I get into shooting and rampage and God knows what the hell is going on in this world today, today, November 7th, is election day in the United States for the Senate, the governor, the mayors. And in New York City right here, where we live at, in this crazy city, the big race, quote-unquote, is the mayor race. So, of course, I post something on Facebook that I did not vote. The Hot Rod, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, don't really vote. We discussed this in the past. I don't care about the voting process. I don't care about politics, even though we do discuss about that. But it is my decision not to vote. I know Sean Black and other people do not agree with my statement, but they support it to a certain degree. So I posted on social media that, you know how everybody have those stickers showing, like, I voted, or they post where they're at. So, you know me as a person that likes to piss people off. I posted, I didn't vote, nor do I care, and you're welcome. Of course, that did not go well with some people. You have the right to vote. People die, blah, blah, blah. You know, on and on and on. And I told them people the truth. Number one, I don't care about who's running for mayor. Number two, I know Mayor Bill de Blasio will win by default because no one knows the other parties are, the other candidates are. And number three, I got better things to do with my life. I did not criticize people for not voting. Once again, it is your right to do what you want. But if I did not vote, if I decide not to vote, say why I did not vote in a presidential race, that is my decision. I know K-Dog and you in the past have said, if you want change in the Senate or in your party, you must go out there and vote. But change start not from the president. It starts from within. And I agree with that. But once again, I don't care. So for the people that attack me or criticize me, thank you for your support. But guess what? In the end, hold on, let me think about this, Sean Black. I don't care. Or I don't give a damn. And I'm not the only person who did not vote. And you know what? Not a lot of people did not come out to vote in this election in New York City. And are you surprised by that?
Well, based on what happened with this presidential election, I definitely would have thought many more people had voted. I just looked at the polls for the de Blasio race here in the New York City area. And although de Blasio did get 65% of the vote, I mean, it was a landslide victory over, I think her name is Nicole Meliotakis, with the Republican that was running, 65% to 28% of the vote. That was the difference.
And it was a third party that was running, that fat cat guy, whatever his name was. Excuse me. That we don't know about.
Yeah. But yet, in total, there was really only so far as the number of votes that went in, I think it was only barely a million votes. Now, New York City has 8 million votes.
A million votes. We have more than a million people in Brooklyn, in the borough of Brooklyn alone.
Exactly. New York City has over 8 million people. I think roughly about 8.5 million people live in New York City. And you're going to tell me only an eighth of the population voted?
Because, number one, like I said, no, some people don't care about the candidates, you know, and maybe the, you know, someone told me, like, after what happened with the presidential, you said people will run to the polls. No, it depends who's running. It depends what the position they're running for. You know, like Cato say all the time, you know, make changes within. The people that the Senate or whatever, the councilmen, most of the time you don't know who they are unless you're in that district. So Sean Black is running for the district of 18 for a neighborhood called Bed-Stuy. I won't know that because I'm from a different district. So I don't care.
Well, see, here's where it becomes important for people to vote in general. Irregardless, I'm not even going to try. This isn't even directed toward you. So you already established your own opinion and et cetera, so that is what it is.
You're welcome.
I'm going to end this to the people that are still on the cusp. We know that its government is a progressive power vote. And what I mean by that is starting from the grassroots, small building upward. So aldermen toward congressmen, toward senator, toward mayor, governor, vice president, et cetera. So it all gets a momentum shift from small to large. So every vote does count. Your opinion, like I said, this isn't toward you because you already have your own idea and your opinion set. But for those that are out there, remember this. The reason why the current president is in office now is because the mindset of people, similar to what you have stated and have expressed the same opinions that you have, did not go out and vote enough. And I forgot how many people that voted the previous presidential election didn't come out last year to vote. And it was those people that didn't vote made up the difference. So, although this is not a presidential election, these are the precursors for the midterm election that will be going on next year. And the reason why this is important is because the midterm elections will set up who is going to run, what policies will go in toward 2020, and what will happen on your dime with your taxes, with all of your other things that people have been looking for government to actually do. So in that sense, it is imperative to exact change in this country. You still have to subscribe to the democratic process. With the imperfections as they are, It is the only way to exact change going forward. And that's the best way I can say it and leave it at that.
Wow, we just went from two listeners to one listener right now. Thank you so much, Sean Black.
I try.
Okay, I understand your concept about the about the presidential race. I mean, yes, now a lot of people did turn them, so that's why we got the results that we got right now. But
yeah.
And I do believe in the next election will be completely different. I mean, more people will vote. But what happens if the Democrat Party cannot find someone strong enough to go against Mr. Number 45? You know, once again, this is like deja vu statement. Mr. 45 beating 15 politician for the job. A businessman with no experience beat 16 politicians, especially the main woman that mostly everybody saw that would take the office.
Yes. Instead of running on a political platform, he ran on notoriety and celebrity. And that's what got him into the White House. And he bragged about it because he's on tour overseas in Asia. And I believe he's in South Korea today. And he talked about that. I got in the office. I never ran before. I'm not really a politician. And I'm president of the United States. And all of those things that happened, mostly because these are the same kinds of things that got Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California years ago. Same kind of thing. Although he was in politics, he is a political person, he hadn't run for anything prior. He wasn't into politics grassroots. He got in because of his name. Same thing with Donald Trump.
But at least Arnold Schwarzenegger did an okay job, in my opinion, as governor, compared to Mr. Number 45 right now.
Ask the people of California. I have a cousin that lives in California, and they beg to differ about Schwarzenegger's horrible job in California. As a matter of fact, a lot of people blame him for the reason why California was in as much debt as they've been over the last couple of decades.
But hey, you know what? You cannot blame Schwarzenegger because he got the election. He won the election twice. Okay, so
it
he
is
was governor
it
for
is.
8 years. So it's like us blaming George Bush. For what happened. You can't blame George Bush Jr. You guys put him in office twice, right? Especially K-Dog, who's on the line right now. He voted for George Bush twice and Donald Trump, and he will probably vote for Donald Trump again. Yes, K-Dog.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, all I got to say is this, is that when it comes to voting and people want to, you know, complain and stuff, don't just sit back and complain. Get out there and do something about it. And that's why there's a voting process. And I've stated before on the show, I've stated even on Villa B's show, the menu, the Trump election was the result of the 46% of Americans who chose to stay home on election day due to the fact that they were frustrated with both candidates, and so, hey, the lesser won. And now you look at the state of the country, it's completely a mess. Now with the New York election, now let's talk about today's election. So far from what I've read in the actual media reports, across the board, there's been some Democrats who have picked up some serious seats, especially in the line of being governor and mayor.
Yeah.
Like
Virginia,
here in
New Jersey, and New York, definitely.
Yeah. And New Hampshire.
Yes.
We've seen the Democrat winning the governorship there, because the governor of Virginia right now, they say that the reason why he definitely won is because of his anti-Trump stance. And also now we see in New Jersey, we also have a Democratic governor who just won.
Phil Murphy, he's the one that was elected. And the sentiment that was always brought up is, if you attack Trump as a Democrat, it won't go over well if you start to run. But that's been the complete opposite. People are taking Trump and his lack of policy and lack of anything being passed to task. And what has happened is the people that are voting have been voting in droves. Now, although a lot of people in New York City may not care much for Bill de Blasio, the fact that they voted for him, even though the turnout was not as big as it should have been, the reason why they voted is twofold. One, nobody knows who the Republican nominee is, anything about Miliotakis. No one really knows a whole lot about him. But also, number two, de Blasio being voted in is more of a referendum against Trump because of how Trump sounded like he had attacked de Blasio over the last few weeks in the media, and how de Blasio has been talking about what Trump and the Trump Tower and everything that's happening there is causing a strain on New York and et cetera, et cetera. And then there was a little back and forth about you not being a great mayor and all of those things. So that was more of a referendum, a lesser of two evils, more of a referendum against Trump. And I think this is what a lot of these elections are happening.
Oh, sorry for interrupting, guys, but I just got another one, too. The mayor of Boston, Martin Walsh, a Democrat of Boston, a Democrat, has just won re-election, has just been re-elected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but well, here we are, talk about elections and everything. Do you see any progress or process next year with all these seats being changed, or it's going to be the same old thing? Democrats and Republicans going back and forth about the same old crap. Because what bothered me about politics overall? Go ahead, J-Dog.
Well, now it's more of a like I said, the you know, throw politics aside, it's the reputation of America that's at stake here, and a lot of them are taking the anti-Trump stance. A lot of these candidates are taking it, and guess what? Hate to tell you this, but it also works because there's another win. Larry Krasner, who is a veteran civil rights lawyer, he's just been elected top prosecutor in Philadelphia. And it's like the list is going on and on and on.
But in the end, go ahead.
But more importantly, as we've been hearing a lot of these Democratic wins, the more important thing is these wins now will perhaps lead to control of the House and the Senate.
And the Senate.
Perhaps
next
shifting
year.
Next year. That's the reason why these elections are important now to set up what may happen next year. Now, I see where you're going, Hot Rod, as far as, well, what is it? What does it do for me? What does it do for the average person that isn't either savvy enough to know what the heck is going on in the government? How is it going to help you in your pocketbook, et cetera, et cetera? Well, what's going on is you might actually have some clearer heads at the government level, maybe trying to stop some of these programs that are being thrown away, things that are being foiled with, and other issues that the people actually want to have brought up and not shot down, because like with the Paris Accords, those kinds of things. Because now we're seeing a lot of other countries looking at the United States, who was at one point a leader in the climate change argument and the Paris Accords, and they're looking at it like, well, what are the United States doing? Mostly because of the Republican regime that's there, those minds will be changed if they have different people there in their place. And this is what these elections are starting to lead to for next year.
Yeah, but it sounds like you guys, okay, yes, we all Democrat, but you guys sound like you're trashing the Republicans. Aren't there a few good Republicans out there? I'm like, there's good Republicans and bad Republicans. Same thing as Democrats, there's good and bad. Now,
but unfortunately,
you know,
Hot Rod, there is a problem right now with the Republicans because Donald Trump has tarnished the Republicans. Sean,
well,
I'm sure you'll agree with me when
board.
I say that.
But that's their boss. They said when you work for
well,
your boss,
they're fighting him.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
You may not agree with your boss, or your boss give you a project to do, you do it. If not, you get fired, right? Or you fail.
Yeah.
Or you face the consequences. The Republican, no matter, despite how much you cannot stand Mr. Number 45, he's still the boss, right?
But
you can fight as much as you want. You can fight as much as you want, but he's still the boss.
But the difference here is, all of those other elected officials, the president is not their boss. Their constituents are their boss. And if you do not do what your constituents ask you for and elect you for, you do not get elected again. And
that's
the
BS.
Difference that a lot of the Republicans have.
I'm sorry, Sean, that's BS, because there'd be many people who's in that seat have not done a damn thing for their state, for their district, and they still get reelected because, once again, politics and favoritism and bribery goes into play. Corruption.
It goes to the people. Like I just said, the people that are there that don't know anything about what they're doing, those are the ones that are trying to make sure that their constituents know what's going on. Most of the people that vote, let's say when you go to the polls and you go to vote, a lot of people really don't even know who they're voting for. And
exactly.
Most of that is on the media. A lot of that is on how elections have been carried. So now when you have the public who have now gotten more savvy as far as going online and getting information, doing research, going into town hall meetings and listening to these politicians speak what they want to speak, when they have to go to the grassroots level, meaning street level, going to the local neighborhoods and talking to people, and when they do that, they have more of an idea of who's running, what they're running for. Now, as you stated, there are people that are in office that have been in office 2 terms, 3 terms, 4 terms, and haven't done a damn thing in office. The problem here is they don't get the idea behind going to the polls and voting against those people. The reason why? Status quo. Nobody speaks to these people as to why these guys are still in office and why your county doesn't have the programs you're looking for. Or there's a particular law that you want to have passed that will make something easier for, let's say, for the elderly or for your 401k, retirement, et cetera. Those are the reasons why you have to vote, and you have to know who you're voting for. And when the people, not the people that are already in office, but as I said before, the constituents and the people that vote for the ones that are in Washington are the real people that are giving them their jobs. Because if they don't do their jobs, if the people know what they're doing, those people won't have jobs come their next election cycle.
Okay. Well, all right. Enough about politics, and because you guys are just like politics are full of crap. But let's go to a serious topic right now. It's funny, last week we talked about a terrorist attack here in New York City. And this past weekend, Sean and I talked, and we agreed, you know what? We have our topics. We're not going to say anything. We wouldn't want to jinx it. Sunday afternoon, of course, Sean Black do what he do best. Change my topics all over again with some breaking news. Once again, there was another shooting in the United States of America, down in Texas. And I'm sure Sean Black has his 20-minute report about what happened down in Texas.
The crazy thing about this whole deal is that you called me up the same day to curse me out. Like I had something to do with this whole thing.
Yeah, because with K-Dog, every time I'm trying to come up with some topic, you know, I'm trying to come with something fun, relationship, whatever.
Yeah,
Sean Black jinxed me with something, some breaking news like this. I'm like, I can't win. But to Sean's defense, it seemed like, I remember every time when we do these topics, it seemed like a trending from cop killing, then to I can't remember what else. There's so much going on. Then to Trump, then to something else. Now is gun control,
mass shooting,
terrorist attack, mass shooting. It's like this is like our third mass shooting talk in a month.
Yeah,
this is the fourth.
In a week. As
the
a matter of fact,
it's
been 2 weeks
about
because
we had this. we had the issue in New York we just had last week.
Mm-hmm.
We had
the, week before,
the Vegas shooting.
We
had
before.
The Colorado shooting, which people haven't really talked about a lot. There was a shooting in a Walmart in Colorado where the gunman went into the Walmart, shot up a bunch of people, and basically ran out of the store. And now we have this, the church shooting in Texas. This is starting to become normal. That is not the way you're supposed to feel about a mass shooting. None of this is supposed to say, well, there's another one. You know that, you know the tone that you get when you look at the news and somebody says, oh, well, here comes another one, or here's another mass. That's not supposed to be the emotion that is evoked when you hear something like that.
It's just been crazy because when I saw it, I'm like, damn, man. I'm like, damn, this is serious.
Well, think about that.
Because
26 people dead and 20 wounded.
And most
babies.
Of them were children between the ages of 18 months to 77 years old.
Mm-hmm. And one person pretty much lost their whole family in there. It was a married couple that had this is just to show you how sad this whole thing is. When you lose your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren in the church on one day where everybody is supposed to be praying and invoking some togetherness, it was it's really, really scary and insane. And the crazy part about the whole thing is the shooter, I'm not even going to bring the person's name up because I don't even want to give this person the time of day. But
no, we shouldn't.
What really pisses me off is the fact that this person had red flags all along the journey to get to this point. And when I say red flags, this guy broke out of a mental health facility for beating up his ex-wife and his stepson and fracturing his skull. He served time in jail. He was disavowed in the service and was still
dishonorable
allowed to go to a gun store and buy a gun. And the reason why? Because the service didn't put his mental his the issue of the domestic violence case into his report, so it didn't show up in his credit check. And when they do the checking up on him, that didn't show up. So he was able to walk in and buy four guns from two separate places.
Yeah,
that's insane. And the fact is, when you see and hear these kinds of things, and usually they tell you when you see red flags along, you know, that somebody may become a mass murderer or something evil in life, you know, like they torture little puppies or they beat up children or they rob people, small things here and there, and it usually builds up to something bigger. The red flags were here, and
no one listened
to any of the red flags.
But, Sean, also something else, too, that I wanted to add. Did you also know that he was sending threatening texts to his former mother-in-law who attended the church?
It's insane.
It's just crazy.
Well, you guys failed to mention that because of the mother-in-law. She's the main reason why he went to that church. Looking for her to shoot her to death, but she wasn't there at that time. So guess what? Everybody else paid the price with their lives for that. But,
and the first thing he said when he went into the church is, "Everybody die," and he opened fire.
People survived. One lady said she had to pretend she was dead. She heard the shots like bang, 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 like bullets were just going off. People were, of course, they're going to run, but she said the amount of bodies that she saw, bodies of children, bodies of elderly people, it's just one of the worst things to see.
Well, okay, so, but this being back to the original question, I guess we've been imposing for a long time, gun control, again. Every time there's a mass shooting, the talk about gun control come up again. For example, Christina Acosta does send us a message. Dishonorable discharge from the Air Force. He was cited for abuse and misconduct. He was not supposed to own a gun after that, and he escaped from a psycho ward, like you guys said. The Air Force took responsibility. The Air Force took responsibility for him, but not processed him correctly a few years ago. So what's next? She said.
That's a very good question.
Very good question.
This is, and part of this is, as I stated earlier, is the reason why you need to vote. Because there are congressmen, there are senators, there are governors, mayors on the docket that are against certain forms of extra legislation to help get gun control and background checks to the forefront. I remember Jimmy Kimmel talked about it when the Las Vegas shooting happened, and he showed an entire list of congressmen that initially voted down certain background checks to be used.
Yes, there was.
As far as gun control. So that's one thing to do. Voting, and I can't say it that much more succinctly, voting is important for that exact reason. Call your local alderman, congressman, senator, whoever, to get on the docket and talk and get a dialogue to make sure that you have some line of communication so you can express what you would like to have done and wonder why certain things aren't getting done. How does somebody that is actually supposed to serve a 3-year jail term for abusing his wife only get 1 year?
And child.
Yeah, he fractured the skull of the child.
Yes, he did.
But excuse me, guys.
There was even a case of animal cruelty that this guy committed.
Okay, I'm a little bit uptight right now. But once again, I understand you guys' point, but this is deja vu for the last 3 years we've done this show.
Yep.
And you guys tell me all the time, America loves its guns. So what we're talking about right now is nothing new. We all know the solution to the problem. But once again, as we discussed this a few weeks ago on Vegas, if nothing did not happen after Sandy Hook in Connecticut, when I'm just making the numbers up, I don't remember what, 15 or 20 kids were killed.
20 kids.
With teachers.
Yeah.
It was 20
I said
kids.
That many times, exactly.
And, you know, with teachers, if nothing did happen then, why should anything change now overall? Go ahead, K-Dog.
I'm going to mention something to you, Hot Rod. This is something that I've said before. These politicians have the NRA in their back pockets. The NRA is telling them, listen, you put in this gun law, who do you think is going to finance your campaign?
I think it's the other way around. I think the NRA has a lot of the politicians in their back pocket, more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but okay. I will never forget when Sean Black talked about this a while back. Kids, I believe his name was Phil Castle, the one that got shot by the cop who he was carrying his gun in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget what Sean brought up. When was the NRA back then? When a guy had his legal gun, he had all his rights, and he told the officer he had a gun, but he was still killed overall. Where was the NRA? So, once again, is this a double standard or let me just tell like it is, or was this another white privilege type of thing? And, of course, I did not want to ask this question, but Sean Black woman just asked anyway, was this a terror attack?
Kato, you answer it first before I jump into this. You go ahead.
Oh, I will answer. Listen, I'll give you the direct answer. Let me just give you a few examples. Like last week, unfortunately, we saw a very disturbing case of a guy getting into renting a truck and ramming it into 8 people, and unfortunately, the 8 people were killed. And it was a horrible act. And let's also look at Las Vegas, where 58 people were killed. Now, here we are. inside of a church that a gunman could walk in and massacre 26. If this is not domestic terrorism, I don't know what is. I call it terrorism. And I'm going to tell you why. If you're going to walk into a place and kill more than one person inside of a public place, and you know, a church, people, when you go to a church, you want to feel safe. It is a house of worship. No matter what religion you may be, no matter if you have faith in God or not, it is a place of worship, a peaceful place. And a monster could just walk in and murder 26 people. It is terrorism. Sean, take it away, bro.
No, Sean, don't answer that. I give a different question, because I know your answer already, and I'm sure the whole world knows your answer already. Your president called this an act of evil. Do you think the reaction from the media, everybody else, you compare the two church shootings, the one that happened with North Carolina, I believe, right, or Charleston, compare that shooting and the situation compared to the Texas one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the reaction was the same from the media, the coverage?
It's very similar in the fact that based on how they define terrorism, it seems to always be if there is Muslim, if there is a quote-unquote brown man, I've heard that expression used a lot, if it had anything to do with Islam, it would be looked at as terrorism. Because if you take the Las Vegas shooting, if you take what happened in New York, if you take what happened in Colorado, and if you take what happened in Texas, and you put a person with a Muslim name attached to the shooting, I will guarantee you, politicians, the media, social media in general, would have jumped all over this.
Well,
President would have probably said something along the lines of it's because of the legal definition, which is one of the reasons why it's not being stated. The legal definition is use of violence in the form of political, economic, and religious coercion. If you're going to put the shooting in Texas into those lines, if you're going by that definition alone, we don't think it was political. We definitely don't think it was economic. And it didn't seem like it was religious, just based on that definition. So if you're going by the definition legally, that's why it wasn't called terrorism. But if you're looking at the root etymology of the word terror, terror is just to create fear, irregardless of what the reason is. It's to create fear.
Did he create fear, or he just went on a shooting rampage out to kill? Because the one that happened in North Carolina, Charleston, that was more of a terror, but does it seem like it was a hate crime where he hated black people?
If I walk into a supermarket and I kill half the people in the supermarket, am I giving the emotion to everybody that lives? Are they in terror of what I'm doing? Are they in fear of what I'm doing? Because if I invoke terror on the people that are there, then that is exactly what the thought process is. It's just a matter of semantics. But this goes into the legal definition, and this is the reason why you don't hear it. But most people were thinking it. Most people know what it is and have looked and waited for our president to declare it as such. Domestic terrorism by anybody in this country that does something where they walk into a public place and murder many, many massive amounts of innocent people, it is terrorism.
That's what I call terrorism.
And it has not been called as such, and I'm still waiting for somebody to call it as such. Well, damn it, I'm calling it that, because one person walking in to a church, which is supposed to be a place of worship and peace,
regardless of whatever
you think of your religious background, you would think that going into a church is probably the most peaceful place you can go into, and somebody just walks into a church and annihilates as many people as possible, including children, babies, a young adult, elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And for what reason? Just because. That, if that's not the definition of terror, I don't know what is.
And you know what, Sean? And I just want to add something else, too. This, he went in there deliberately to kill people. He went in there deliberately. He says, oh, I'm here to get back at my mother-in-law. And after he did it, you know, he ran out of ammunition and walked out. And that's when that other neighbor saw him and fired those shots at him. Because the neighbor said he heard the shot. He said every shot that was fired was a body dropping.
Oh.
This was someone who went in there deliberately. It's not crazy or anything like that. This is a deliberate act.
One more point on this statement. The person that shot the shooter, he don't declare himself as a hero, but he is a hero. As Donald Trump said, it was not for the shooter. Basically, it was not for this person that had a gun. The situation could have been much worse. I'm like Donald Trump over-exaggerate and say 100 people being more killed. So once again, guys, without gun control, the shooter basically helped stop the shooter. But it was not for the gun control. What do you think? Do you think this gun thing actually has some positive light on it? That basically almost everybody carrying guns now. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh,
entertain me. Go ahead, Kato. Entertain me.
Man.
Entertain me. Well, you think you have all the answers? I change the questions. Go ahead.
I will entertain you in this sense.
All I got to say is this.
Hold on. Let Sean go first.
No, Sean, go ahead, bro.
If you have enough gun control and you have the checks and balances in place, the person that went out and shot the shooter wouldn't have been in a position to do so because there would be no shooter to shoot in the first place. If the checks and balances were already there, this shooter would have had a harder time getting the guns, if not, would not have had the guns, and probably would have been either, depending on if he had a mental health lookup, if he was to be checked for particular markers for disorders, violent tendencies, etc., this would not have happened because he has already had a rap sheet the size of New Jersey. Those red flags would have kept him from buying those guns.
Okay,
whether he got it on the open market somewhere illegally is a different story.
Yes,
but to
legally get the guns. We know the system failed. We know that already, Sean Black.
Yes,
well,
and
the,
he
and told
that's
us
the
that,
reason why I said what I said.
Okay.
Let me add more to it. You know who really dropped the ball? The Air Force dropped the ball, and I'm going to tell you why. They did not let it be known that the shooter was a felon. They did not let it be known that he committed an act domestic, that he committed an act of domestic violence. They did not let it be known that he was dishonorably discharged for his reckless behavior. And you know what? Today I was reading in a reliable media source. They said, wow, we really dropped the ball because had we put those things in, had we added that to his file, he would have never gotten his hands on those guns.
Okay. Now we have Phil the Fishman Fish in the house. I guess he's going to tell us his side of the story.
Hey,
hello,
Phil, boys.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Same old. You know,
okay,
it's
Phil.
Just...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, ask your question. Go ahead.
No, I was. What's your intake on the so-called gun violence that's been going on, just trending? Of course, we all know this, there's no solution to this no time soon. But overall, do you think everyone should carry guns right now to defend themselves, especially when you know there's a trend of guns going on right now?
you know, let me just start off by saying that this is this world is becoming very, very frightening. When some idiot can go into a church, as Sean alluded to, a place of worship, and start shooting people, it's the same thing as going into a school and start doing this shit. It seems that places that we have felt safe are not safe anymore. I'm waiting for the day Walmart puts metal detectors in its front doors, and I'll have to go through a metal detector to go to work.
Well, okay, you but still, doesn't Walmart sell guns? So what's stopping me? Just go to Walmart, buy a gun, buy some bullets, and start shooting out people in there. What's the difference?
You got me up. Damien, stand down. Calm down. Put it this way. This is very frightening. And places that we used to feel safe in are not those kind of places anymore. And you don't know where and when an idiot is going to strike.
But I'm sorry, guys. I'm a firm believer. You live your life every day. That's why I drink myself to death. And I'm still living for the time being. But these type of weird things happen all around the world. We hear about suicide bombers, people, places of worship, cars running to the streets. Now, nowhere is safe. And as we discussed it last week, if you try to ride a bike in New York City, you get plowed by a van or a truck. There's nothing we could do anymore, the way I see it.
The world has gotten more closed
in. It is. It's crazy.
Because we are so much more connected now. We have, between Facebook and Twitter and all of the other social media that's out there, you can connect with anybody and be anywhere at any time and feel close to somebody. And this is the reason why it's not the same way maybe in the 80s where you would write a postcard or you would see something on the news and why that looks so far away. Everything is so close now. Now, because everybody knows everything, every way, every technique to touch someone as far as media, social media, to be able to communicate, now they can use that to further an agenda. Once the agenda has been furthered, now if you have a radical thought process as far as let me take out as many people as possible in this particular way. You said when we used to talk about, you know, cults and you used to hear about, you know, David Koresh and Charles Manson.
Jim Jones,
et cetera. But that was mostly separate. Jim Jones took people to Panama. David Koresh took people to Texas. All of these other things happen in certain areas. Now you can pull and pluck people from other parts of the world, and because of social media, they can be together as if they are in the same room. So that's the scariest part about why social media can be, in the hands of the wrong people, dangerous, and as Phil alluded to, makes the world that much more scary.
Well, look what ISIS does. ISIS is using all this stuff to recruit people from this country. They're doing
exactly.
It through social media and all that stuff. And that's what's really frightening, that these morons can get into the heads of the younger generation.
And that's where education comes in. This is where you have to get to young people, children in school, and teach them about certain things, because a lot of times when we talk about social media and why people become radicalized about certain things, a lot of times it's a lot of the stuff that's taught by their parents or, you know, a lot of propaganda and rhetoric, but also a lot of it is how they were treated in school, how they were treated when they were young. And then they hold on to these kinds of, like this guy, he might have been bullied as a kid. We don't know. We don't know that much about him other than the stuff that's been coming out. We know of other people that have started shootings that we found when they were younger, they were bullied, they didn't have a lot of friends, or
they
identified with
child.
People that were just like them. So we have to start when they're young and find out why that these thought processes are starting the way they are.
I read in the media, in a reliable media source, and they spoke to some of the people who went to school with him, and many of them said they're not surprised because they said that he had a very quiet but strange demeanor. But, however, he was friendly and he was deeply religious at his church. And that's why many of them were shocked that he got married. But even his first wife said that he was abusive.
Well, okay. Well, before I go on to that topic, here's my question for you three guys. In 11 months, I have to admit, in my 3 years of doing the show with you guys, this has been the most bizarre, craziest topics we've been talking nonstop, all due to part of it, number 45. For all the current events that's been happening, and to some form or degree, do you blame number 4 on this? I'm just talking about in general current events, all the craziness, that chaos that's happening right now. Sean, I know you love number 45. You go first.
I won't put those words in my mouth, but I will not blame him per se. I will say that to start a stick of dynamite to explode, you need to have a blasting cap. Donald Trump was the blasting cap. The explosive material was already there. It just hadn't been detonated yet. Trump, the blasting cap that was needed to start the ignition, to start blowing everything up. So that should answer that question.
Okay, K-Dog?
To second what Sean was saying about the whole stick of dynamite, just look at the state of this country right now and what's going on. There are some terrible things that have been happening. There's a great division that's been going on, which I blame 45 for that. And the climate of violence, every day, it keeps getting worse and worse.
Ooh. Phil, the freshman Fisher.
You know, this country, I think a lot of this stuff has been brewing even before Trump took office. When President Obama wanted to bring the troops, started bringing all the troops home, he was told we really can't do that. Because if we start pulling people out, something worse was going to happen. And what happened? Something worse has happened, and it's called ISIS. And that's only the start of the problem. And then, you know, then everything's just taken its course. We know the whole thing with Hillary and the emails and all that, Donald Trump coming into office. And since Trump has come into office, as I've alluded to on past shows, this world, this country's in a bunch of chaos. I mean, I've never seen so much shootings and killings going on since he has taken office, which my mom thinks he's going to be impeached somehow. She just doesn't know when or what time, or where, but that's what she thinks, that he's going to be impeached.
You want to hear something crazy, and you may not believe me or not. Yes, well, you guys, there's been a lot going on, but still, this country is still safer than it has been compared to the last 50 years ago. You really think about that? I'm like, yes, there's a lot going on, but this country is still safer now than it was. Despite all the media, despite all the shootings and the riots and all this stuff, we're crazy. We're not organized. We're not the number one country in the world, but we're still safer, especially compared to other countries. So should we be grateful for that part, at least?
I think to a degree we should be grateful, but I think the point that I'm trying to make is that since he's come into office, it's just like it seems that things are getting just worse from one perspective.
Yes, because, you know, if you really think about perfect example in New York, yes, we just had a terrorist attack last week on Halloween Day, but this was our first attack in 16 years since 9/11, and believe it or not, crime in New York has been down. Shooting in the odd way has been down in New York and across the country. It's just amazing. I'm like, despite the topics and despite how much we talk about it and we scratch our head, it's still not that bad. Is it because the media and social media and us we're blowing it out of proportion, or is this something that needs to be addressed right now so we could talk about it again next week, guys?
Oh, this definitely hasn't been blown out of proportion. That you can throw that argument out the window. The reason why a lot of this has actually been brought up to the forefront is because we as a nation have been so blindsided with the nonsense that happens on social media. Kardashian this and unicorn drink that and all the other goofy stuff that people go to social media for and live for. When they realize that other real world events have happened, and the fact that the current administration are quietly doing things to further their own party and a lot of other of their own interests, when that actually does happen, you're starting to see now, because the media has jumped all over it, and the fact that Trump doesn't like the media, you're getting that blowback now. If Trump was a little more acquiescent to the media and he didn't go and jump all over them and put up so much resistance, it probably wouldn't blow up as big as it has become. But he's made it his personal crisis to argue and to have as much consternation with the media as he possibly can. And what has happened is now everything that happens gets blown up on an even bigger scale than it probably would have in general.
Okay, 3 minutes left. I know Phil is itching and scratching to talk about sports, so Phil, I will give this sports question to you. The New York Giants is having a stink of a season so far. Should or they should not bench Eli Manning?
You know, I was watching some of the game the other day, and I said, and what the score was looking at, when I looked at what the score was, I'm like, why isn't he bringing Geno Smith or bringing the kid that they drafted, you know, from California last year? I'm like, it's just, you know, here's the thing with the Giants is just this season is shot. Ben McAdoo just looks as, you know, you remember when Platon on our sports show used to call, was it the coach of the Nets, Butch, I forgot his name, but he used to call him Beleaguered Butch.
Yeah.
Well, we have Beleaguered Ben.
Yeah.
That's what
yes,
we have.
We
but he looks so clueless.
He doesn't know what he's doing. You know what
needs to happen? Yeah. I wish the Giants need to get rid of him and get Bill Cowher out of that broadcast booth and onto the sideline. Because I guarantee you, with Bill Cowher as the coach of this team, I guarantee you none of this would be happening right now. These players would be playing.
That ship has sailed a long time
ago.
That's Bill Cowher. He's been retired over a decade now. He's not
getting
out of the booth.
He's not coming
back. He had
back.
A chance to
he's
a
not
couple
coming.
Years back. It's not going to happen. The Giants
and
have to say
this.
But the Giants
I will say
just
this.
Got dismantled.
I will say this. To change everything, the Knicks won again tonight. So I was still having a heart attack over that. You know, maybe there is. Maybe there is.
There's hope. There's hope.
There is hope. You know what? Let's end it like this. The melodrama is gone. So now they're playing, you know, the way they're supposed to play. And we got rid of the stupid triangle lock. And you see it.
I'll tell you what hope is. My uncle used to tell me, you can hope in one hand and you can crap in the other. And only one hand is going to get filled. So let's not get too high on hope.
But in your case, Sean Black, you always got crap on your hand. We all know that.
Oh, well, I have to deal with you every week. That's why.
Hold on.
Hey, Ronnie, before we go, another team is having a good week. They're called the New York Rangers. And I'm sure, Sean, you were watching that last night.
I'm sorry, Phil, but you're talking about three black guys. You know, you're on your own with hockey. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness. I watch hockey.
Speak for yourself.
That's right. Speak for yourself, Hot Rod.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. I'm your host, Hot Rod, with Phil the Fish, Matt Fisher, K-Dog, and Sean Black. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all me,
yours.
These guys.
Have a good night, guys.
Good night. Hey, have a good night, fellas.
You too.
And Sean, don't forget to vote, okay, Sean? Don't forget to vote.
Yeah.
Oh, man.